Illinois State Representative David Seven. David, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great. Standing outside in Springfield watching it rain. It's a beautiful day to be a duck in Springfield.
Right. And you guys have been, as is often the case, this portion of the session, everything's rather furtive, everybody trying to get some work done. But first, number one, budget, a balanced budget by May 31st or just a budget by May 31st, David?
No, we're looking for balanced budget, actually, on both sides of the aisle and working behind the scenes. We call them the budgeteers that have been working, actually getting together daily, the Republicans and Democrats in the House and Senate and the governor's office. And we're getting close, and we believe that actually the Senate will probably see something today. Normally the budget starts in the House and goes over to the Senate, but this year they chose to start it in the Senate, and then they'll bring it back to us. So today the Senate will probably see something.
Revenue number, have you heard one?
38.5.
38.5. That's the one that we've been waiting for, isn't it?
Well, that's exactly right, forever. And that's the number that's been thrown around the last few days.
Progressive tax resolution. I want to make a point of saying resolution after I attempted to go look at the government website on the verbiage for a legislation. All it is in the synopsis is one line. Support implementation of progressive income tax. When I read that and its vague nature, I don't call it a progressive tax. I call it a tax increase. What are your thoughts here, David?
Yeah, I don't like it at all. And, what my thought has been all along in support is we need more taxpayers, not more taxes. So that's one of those things, you know, talking about a budget, you have, if everybody likes it, there's probably not a good budget. And so there's good and bad and positive and negative things in there. So we'll see where that goes, Tom.
Senate Bill 7 has been so anticipated and so questioned and back and forth, on and off again. This is the bill that involves a number of licenses, I believe six. I'm not positive because I read some of this on Associated Press on Sunday afternoon. But what we're talking about with the Southern Illinois impact is Walker's Bluff Resort. Senate Bill 7, what's its status today, Dave?
Yeah, thanks for asking. And Senate Bill 7 actually was in the committee on Monday at 12 noon. And what happened there was when Senate Bill 7 came up, Bob Reeder was the presenter of it. Actually, there are so many things packed into this piece of legislation that now it's not sure what's going to happen with it. Of course, I was there to represent Walker's Bluff and to be supportive of that. And in fact, we were in session in committee again yesterday. And I was subbed in because I wanted to have an opportunity to show my support and vote in committee in a positive nature for that piece of legislation, Senate Bill 7. But what happened is when we were just about ready to start, the committee chairman gets a phone call, and the committee's called off. So, no pun intended, but there's games going on in the gaming piece of legislation. So we'll see where it's going to go. They've added so many pieces to it just at the last minute. The sweepstakes games just in the last 48 hours have been thrown in there, and some other pieces. So not sure what's going to happen with it, but definitely want to show my support and do everything we possibly can to help Walker's Bluff be successful and get something going there.
My jaded nature is sometimes only thinly veiled, but it manifests itself rather ardently during this conversation, because when you look at Senate Bill 7, gambling in the state of Illinois, and you cannot help but that somebody is waiting somewhere behind a curtain, waiting for something they insist they must have before anybody gets anything else. That's kind of just that jaded Illinois inhabitant type of deal. Somebody wants something. David, do you have any idea who it is that wants something? I mean, is it owner of another institution, the ability to sell the license? Is it about financing horse racing? Is it about slot machines? Insurance companies have invested largely in these gambling machines in the state of Illinois as a source of revenue. What is it that they want?
I think that everything you just said could possibly all be little pieces of that pie. And so the stakeholders are kind of, you know, sticking their neck out and showing, you know, their support or lack thereof. And so, you know, I'm not sure just what the final game plan is, but there are some people in the state that are working very hard to push this through. And on the same time, there are some people working very, very hard to try to get it to, you know, fall on its face. So It's going to be interesting. We thought there would be the votes to get it out of committee on Monday, but actually the chairman of the committee, Mr. Burke, voted no, and so the votes were 5-4. It needed to be 6-3, and so it showed me right there that, boy, we're, as I told Bob Reed, I said, Bob, I said, I don't know if you know anything about track and field. I said, but the 300-meter hurdles has 10 sets of hurdles, and to me, it's you know, we're just jumping hurdles one after another here.
Right, right. Back pay, Department of Corrections, something that was voted on, I believe, before the Memorial Day weekend.
Actually, it was that's exactly right. And something I want to say here is that when I first got elected, I had people reaching out to me immediately and said, hey, if you really want to, you know, do something, if you want to show that you really care about people in Southern Illinois, do something about this back pay. So I started doing some, you know, some history on that and finding out just what's going on and what isn't going on. And I found out that actually I wouldn't be allowed to introduce a bill or to be able to be successful and carry that bill. So I was so excited when Jerry Costello actually presented that bill. And it's the oldest bill on the books, and that's $63 million, and it's something that needs to be taken care of. So that now will be in the package of bills once that passes through the House and Senate and the governor's desk. So we need to get these people paid. It's the right thing to do. I tell people, you know, when you agree to something, when you owe somebody something, you man up and take care of it.
It's weird. As a matter of 100% disclosure, I'm sitting at the table having lunch in Marion with my brother, who's come down to visit with me and Mom for Mother's Day, and I'm yelling down at the end of the table, how much Department of Corrections, how much do they owe you in back pay? He's been there. He's retiring at the end of this month. He says, $10,000. Right. He said, yeah. $10,000 is what's on my tab. So most people I talk to, $2,000, $3,000. Another issue for you, you had been talking about this and been kind of disturbed by this in a couple of messages you and I had shared about this visitor center being closed on Route 57, and now you're looking to get that reopened.
Yeah, you know, actually I was in the phone calls yesterday with the Department of Tourism and just trying to get this done. There's two rest stops there on 57, right at the exit 71, a little north of that. And the northbound is open. The southbound isn't. And, of course, the southbound affects all of my district and all of Southern Illinois as far as that tourism center there in the rest area. And it's closed, been closed the last couple of years. It's very disturbing to me. I've actually been making phone calls, talking to people for a long time. And I decided, you know, that I'm tired of talking about it. Let's get something done. And so in talking with the director, actually, when you had Mr. Jobe on your interview last week, it just kind of motivated me to follow up and get this thing going again, because the Chamber of Commerce is in Southern Illinois, the tourism people, the businesses, they're saying, hey, how about us in Southern Illinois? And so Terry Bryant and I are working together on that to get that done.
Right. Just quickly, I want to end on a high note yesterday, because you honored some foster parents from your district yesterday.
Yeah, actually, I found out about this couple that I've known for a long time, and they're foster parents. And actually, the month of May is Foster Parent Awareness in the state of Illinois. And Alan and Janice Crawford, we had them come up to the Capitol yesterday, and we introduced them on the House floor also. But there was a ceremony that Representative Nick Sauer had for foster parents, and they've been foster parents, Tom, for 32 years, and they've been foster parents of 80 children. When I was on the House floor, I said not 8, but 80 children. In fact, right now they have 2 children that they're being foster parents for as we speak. And I thought, what an awesome example of people that are passionate, that really are doing. A lot of people talk about doing something, but how awesome is it? So we acknowledge their success and their passion and their love for people that have needs. And so I was very humbled and honored to be able to do that.
You know, it's kind of weird. This is an off non sequitur, but it's amazing. As you grow older, you realize when you were younger, people were teaching you things, and then you don't really appreciate them until afterwards, and you think, well, what a moron I was. And this brings me to Grandma Miller, all right? And you know, some people think that love is a commodity that exists. You've got 4 gallons or 2 gallons, and you give it, and then you're out of love. right? There is no more love. And people don't talk about love on news talk radio stations. It's an important thing, whether we love one another, how we treat one another. But when you look at somebody who can have in their family 80 children like they love on their own, you realize that love is not a limited commodity. Oil may be, oxygen may be, how much money we have, the state of Illinois, but these people show an illustration that love is actually the only truly renewable resource.
Well, that's awesome, and I appreciate you saying that. And it's interesting you use that word love, because yesterday when they were getting ready to introduce me, I finished the thing out, presented a certificate from the House floor to the Crawfords when we had a ceremony. And I like leading cheers, and so I thought, okay, what word can I lead this group in? And so I tell you what, it was the word love. And so, and in the, I'm sure you've been in the Capitol before. So we were having this ceremony there in the Capitol on the first floor, and there were people in the background talking, and you know, some people paying attention, but there was all kinds of people getting ready for committees and coming out and going back and forth. And so I said, you know, it's exactly like what's going on in the world today. I said, here are these people that are being foster parents, but you have all this noise in the background. So I had the microphone, and I led the cheer. You know, give me an L, give me an O, give me a V, give me an E. You know, what's it spell? What's it stand for? And so we had the whole Capitol rocking and screaming with the word love, Tom, because that's what pushes these people to participate and to show their passion and take care of people being foster parents. So yeah. I appreciate you saying that.
Well, it's not a limited commodity. You think, well, there's grandma. How, look at all the grandkids. How can she love us all? There can only be so much love. And like I said, don't learn that lesson until, well, I should have learned it earlier. We know that.